We're going to talk about the transgender issue right now on this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Denise Schick, and she is the director of Help for Families. That's help, the number four, families. In fact, their website is helpforfamilies.com. And it is an outreach that brings an understanding of the emotional pain and spiritual confusion that people face when a loved one has gender identity confusion. Denise, welcome to the program, or I should say welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me back.
Sure. Okay, since the last time we talked, there's been a lot of news related to transgender confusion. It even made the cover of Time magazine and so forth. First of all, what is all this gender confusion stuff that's going on?
You know, it's chaotic for most of us that live in today's world and look around, especially somebody that doesn't know anything about it with what's happening in society and the changes. And, you know, to be honest, it's just an issue that's gotten out of hand, unfortunately, because we're talking about people that are really hurting when they have that type of a distress about who they are biologically, what they are is female and male. And understanding that they're coming from underlying issues that contribute to this. It can be anything from having the parent a disconnect with the same sex parent, the relationship, the way they perceive that relationship may not even be the way that it is, or the way that something has happened. Sometimes there's other mental underlying issues that contribute to this, and that can be obsessive compulsiveness or personality disorder. And then to top it off, you know, we have peers, the peer pressure that the young people are receiving today. And that's, I think, more powerful than what anybody may realize of what's going on when we've got peers that are pressuring fellow peers, you know, about who they are, and, oh, you like that? Well, you must be transgender. Are you sure you're not gay? Are you sure you're not really supposed to be a boy? And to see how some of this pressure is going to fit in. You know, they just want to fit in like all of us did at those ages. Mm-hmm. Only, unfortunately, where they're trying to fit in at is, in a sense, more dangerous to them emotionally and physically.
And I don't think Hollywood or the culture at large helps in any way. In fact, I think they hurt in this area.
Yes, they do. They're just promoting this type of a, if we can use the word agenda, you know, idealism. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're showing the smiles on the shows and advertisements and such, or news articles, but nobody's really looking inside the glass, in a sense. What is really going on, and what has this person been through? We've been doing this kind of ministry for 13 years, and I know out of all of the individuals that I've spoke with that struggled with this or that used to identify as being transgender, they've been hurt in some form or other, and I'm talking deep pain and deep hurts.
Tell us about your own background, because I understand your dad struggled with this or something.
He did, yes. My father had told me when I was 9 years old of his desire to become a woman and that he believed that he was. But when we look at what had happened to him, you know, he remembered this from the age of three. He was sexually molested. My grandmother was an alcoholic, and my grandfather was not home much. There was not much of a connection between him and my dad because he was a businessman and he was so busy, you know, just trying to run the business and do that. So there were a lot of disconnections there for my father, on top of peers that had actually dressed him in one of his sister's dresses and stuffed him in a closet for an amount of hours.
Oh.
And so there were multiple things that had happened to my father. And these are multiple things many times that I hear that an individual has been through.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure you know Walt Heyer. I went out and interviewed him in his home and everything for Christian television, and he went through this terrible thing, and he thought he was, you know, basically, he thought he was a girl trapped in a boy's body, but when he traced it back later after Jesus Christ healed him, he realized, well, what had happened was his grandmother would dress him up as a girl and affirm him as a girl, and then meanwhile, his father unintentionally intimidated him as a boy. And so he got all the strokes as if he were a girl, but he got, you know, negative feedback as a boy. So it's really, really sad. Now, when you look at something like Facebook, they have, you know, what is it, 78 different gender identities? That doesn't make sense. It seems like we're going into the absurd, the realm of the absurd in this culture.
Right. It continues to grow with how a person may identify or choose to identify. Some go by, you know, the words them and those and such. And we are an individual. So some of these identifying, it's almost like, you know, how, what, and why? Where have we gone as society to, in a sense, not just permit, but encourage for an individual, for a child, to have multiple different choices to decide on who he is, and all of that really taking him or her further away from who God had created them to be.
Can you do me a favor? Can you actually just mention supposed genders beyond male, female? I mean, like, for example, I've never seen the actual list of the supposed 78 Facebook identities, but, you know, I can imagine male, female, questioning. What else is there?
Well, there are, we've got binary, of course, is
what does that mean?
Another...
binary means kind of half male, half female or something?
Yeah,
or?
Right, yes, yes. In fact, I was just reading an article yesterday about a young boy in high school.
Oh.
You know, who is identifying as binary.
Okay.
And
what are the categories, if you don't mind? I want to understand this.
Yeah, we have them, though, these, my goodness, my mind's going blank right now. There's actually, yeah, I know there are like 71 difference going on. We've got size, or cis female, cis man. Side gender, agender,
agender. So,
yes, gender fluid, gender nonconforming, gender questioning, gender variant, gender queer, intersexed, male to female, neither. You know, other.
Wow.
Gender.
You know,
the list just goes on.
Bishop Patrick Wooden, who was one of the North Carolina leaders. You know, when North Carolina was kind of ground zero in the whole battle related to transgender bathrooms and so forth. And I went and interviewed him and other people in North Carolina about that issue for Christian television. One of the things he said was absolutely fascinating. He said, look, if you took a cotton swab, you know, the inside of somebody's mouth, and then you checked out their DNA, they would show up to be either male or female based on the number of chromosomes. And that's the way the Creator has made us, male or female. So why all this fluidity, especially the idea where somebody says, well, I'm a male this time of the day, but later today I might end up being a female, and therefore I get to go to the ladies' restroom instead of the men's restroom. This is just so bizarre to me.
Yeah, it is, you know, and I remember when my dad was, there was a distance from him and my family once he had left to pursue the identity of Becky. And I thought, you know,
the identity, what?
To him.
He went to pursue?
His identity as a female, which was known as Becky.
Oh, okay.
And I thought, if something happens to him, how are we going to know, you know, or how's somebody going to know who he really is? Well, you know, then mentally thinking, well, something happens and, like you said, take a swab. They're going to discover that indeed he is not a female but a male, and to find that that true identity of who the person is. The people today, it's almost like they want to live half in a reality, in a fantasy world. And so if I'm a man right now and I'm going to work and, you know, coming home to my family, but yet there's a fantasy playland that I can live in because I can go out tonight dressed as a woman and go into the women's restrooms, pursue that being a woman, the persona of it, and nobody can say anything, right? Because then it becomes hate speech.
Oh. And by the way, how about a comment about the ACLU-type lawsuits? you know, to basically force high schools to open up their showers and bathrooms for somebody of the opposite sex because they identify as a girl when in reality they're a boy, or vice versa.
Right, so you take the small percentage of the individual that is identifying other than what the reality or biology is saying and creating a environment where what's the higher percentage of individuals that are really feeling awkward because they've got somebody of the opposite sex in the showers with them?
And where are
their rights?
You know, I remember when I first met one of the attorneys on our side who was, fighting against these absurd lawsuits and so forth, she said, look, let's be honest here. What we're talking about is the issue of should there be a male appendage, you know, in the girls' locker room. And it's like, whoa. I mean, she just used the biological term for the male appendage, and it just shocked me. I mean, she didn't say this on the air, but it was like, you know, she's absolutely right, though. Now, you say small percentage. What number are we talking about?
Well, when we talk about a percentage of, I don't know, in the schools, you know, in general, you may have one or two, you know, in
percent.
The high schools that are identifying, you know, compared to the rest of the population, according to the others, I've been to school board meetings and such where you've got one child that is changing. The rules are being changed for this one individual.
Yeah, you know what's so amazing, too, is under the Obama administration, sorry for interrupting, under the Obama administration, Loretta Lynch, the attorney general, actually said that if you oppose opening up the bathrooms for transgenders, that this is just another manifestation or, you know, our version today of Jim Crow laws. And it's like, wow, lady, you're crazy. I mean, that's so wrong.
Yes, yeah. And the other thing, too, that I guess I think of because of the circumstances that I had come from are what about the individual that may be in these schools and their sibling or their father or somebody else, you know, in their family is transitioning, and then they're being forced into these type of situations as well. So they're not just facing it at home, but the rules in their public arena is now being changed.
Whatever happened with your father?
Well, he unfortunately ended up dying of cancer 13 years after he lived his Becky. And we all know, you know, that sometimes cancer is a side effect or one of the risks with hormone treatments and such. And so I don't know if that's what caused it, but I guess I'll always question that. Would he have had cancer if he did not decide to.
How old was he when he died?
Things. He was only 64, so he was young.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Huh. Mm-hmm. And how did you, were you a Christian at the time that this happened, that your dad went into the transgender lifestyle?
I was. And, you know, even though there was that time frame, because when he left, emotionally, people don't realize emotionally the families have all they can do sometimes to get up out of bed. And that's just the honesty of the deep depression that it can take you in. Just mentally, emotionally, just can numb you. And so there was that period, there was that grieving period that I had gone through. But I was also raising four small children. And so we had to make some difficult decisions at that time as well. You know, if how do I explain to, you know, twin boys at the age of five that grandpa is no longer living as a man? So 13 years had gone by until you know, we worked out where God was really calling me to forgive him and to bring some understanding to this, to the next level for me. At 9 years old, he had told me of these things that had happened to him. And of course, I'm thinking, why are you telling me this? I'm just a kid, you know, and this is big, heavy stuff. But even at the point before he died in those last 6 months, he was able to tell me even more, you know, so I was understanding even more, but I was an adult. So at least I was in a place where I could comprehend or maybe digest the information a little bit better.
Right. And right now, Denise, we're out of time, but thank you so much for joining us. And let me give people the website, help4families.com. Denise Schick, thank you and God bless you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.